This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Hey, 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 business storytellers. Let's talk about how technology helps business growth or helps businesses grow. You know, and the reason this is an important topic to me, because we only have so much time in the day. How can we use technology to be more effective, to be more efficient, to drive better results, to drive more results? And really, that's kind of where I think technology comes in. You know, I grew up, I'm old enough now. I'm a young Gen Xer, I guess, so to speak, where we didn't have any technology, right? I mean, we had still keyboards. I mean, not keyboards, typewriters. Like, that's how old I am. I was at the end of the typewriter era. And somebody reminded me the other day that when you made a mistake in the last sentence, you had to retype the whole paper. Craziness. Isn't that craziness? I think it is. So, of course, today, we don't even know what that's like, right? We just delete the letter, delete the word, update a paragraph, use Grammarly to fix a paragraph for us. So technology has come a long way. And technology really helps us with productivity. So, for example, back in my day, when I was working for a media company, doing these, this is actually not a live episode, but typically these episodes are live streamed. And doing a live stream back in those days was like biggest production ever. It's horrible, 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 horrible. And now, you know, I just throw up these lights, turn them on my desk, get some sound panels behind me, and boom. I'm going, right? I use Restream, super easy. It's like it couldn't be any more productive or easy to be productive. So technology, when used correctly, also helps us with that. That's the first thing, enhancing productivity with tech. And the other thing to keep in mind, though, is the more tech you layer on top of each other, there is actually the potential to create too many webs that people get caught in, right? So for example, if I use one tool for project management, I use another tool for the production, I use another tool for whatever, and they're all related things, but they're not in the same software, it actually can slow things down because you have to go back and forth. And I know people will say, well, it's just one more place to go, but it is one more place to go, and one plus one plus one plus one plus one, right? Somebody does the math at home, but like it adds up. Do you know what I mean? So be very careful. Have an integrated approach. We had Scott Brinker on the show. It's been a while, but we talked about how do you integrate everything? And that's, you know, this is not a show to promote HubSpot, but that is one thing I really like about HubSpot, how you can do everything in there. You can draft in there. They even have AI now, and you can schedule posts. You can even put your blog in there if your blog is set up that way. Email marketing, you know, everything in one place. And then, of course, it ties back to your contacts and sales. So the more you can integrate it, I think that really, really helps. But in theory, productivity can go way up with the right technology. The next one is streamlining communication. This one is an interesting one because you can actually communicate on all these different channels, right, with each other. And sometimes people talk one-on-one, sometimes people call, some people like to email. I personally hate email. I think there's so much baggage when it comes to email. There's so many different ways you can lose the email, where you can't find it later or whatever it might be. But there's plenty of tools out there today that help you streamline communication, whether it's Slack. You can use Slack groups, right, for specific things. So if I want to talk about content strategy, like for example, I'm in the Marketing Artificial Intelligence Institute. Did I say that right? I think so. Slack group. And, you know, there's all these different channels, right? It's announcements, jobs, show off your work, et cetera, et cetera. So the conversations are structured around the topics, right? So we're not just in one big place, which is kind of what email is, and talk about everything right there. We go into the different channels and talk about them. Technology can also help us make data-driven decisions. Now, some people will argue that everything is measurable, and maybe it is. Probably it is. But can everything be analyzed correctly, right? So, like, that's something to look at as well. Do we know what we're trying to do? Do we know what the numbers mean? Do we know, does it even matter, right? Like, so, for example, I used to think the bounce rate was really important. Like, I was like, oh, my goodness, you want that to be low. And I actually worked with teams where they thought it was so important that they, like, hacked the system. And, I mean, some people might argue this is okay. But, like, you know, they did certain things to trigger bounce rates to not count or whatever. I can't explain it. But basically, the bounce rate was low because of whatever they were doing. But when you really think about it, you know, somebody explained the bounce rate to me. And if you are a content marketer and you create a lot of content that's, you know, all parts of the funnel, top of the funnel, even top of the bottom of the middle of the funnel, like, they're not going to stick around, right? They're going to read your content and they're going to leave. Like, that's it. If you can get them to sign up for your newsletter, that's boom, golden. That's why you have a pop-up. I did just add the Jetpack pop-up on christophtrapp.com. I think it's super user-friendly. Check it out if you want to. christophtrapp.com is Christoph's content corner. But at the end of the day, you can measure all kinds of things. You can get all kinds of things. But then the important part is, what does it mean? And I think that's a skill that, you know, I don't say not many people have, but you have to learn it and you have to collaborate and then you have to test further, right? So, for example, if I'm finding that nobody clicks on anything in my emails, okay, or the click-through rate is low. All right, but what did you want them to do? Did you want them to click? Did you want them to read? Is this a top of the funnel campaign? Is it a bottom of the funnel campaign? Why is it a bottom of the funnel campaign? Why is it top of the funnel campaign? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you sent a bottom of the funnel message to somebody who is not ready to buy, like, of course your click-through rates will be low. Like, seriously, look for the signals, understand the signals. I'll give you a personal example. We bought a car, and I posted this actually on as a Google review. So we're not going to talk about who the car dealer is, but what I did is we bought a car, brand new. Never bought a brand new car, but we did. 5 miles or maybe 7 miles on it. Crazy, if you ask me. But you know what? It was just as expensive or as cheap as a used car from like 2 years earlier or 1 year earlier with 35,000 miles on it. So it actually made sense to me to do that. And so the signal I sent was, I'm ready to buy. Boom. Let's talk. And they upsold me to a four-wheel drive because we need that. We're moving to a place, kind of rural, especially the first couple of years. And like, you need four-wheel drive there. I mean, I have no doubt. So not a big deal to add that functionality for the $2,000. I'm a buyer. I bought it. But I wasn't ready to buy anything else. I wasn't ready to buy any optional things, right? But they kept pushing and pushing. And you know me, like, I'm like, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And they still kept pushing. And then we left. And then an affiliated car dealership for a different brand emails and says, they're happy to talk to me about buying a new car. I'm like, you have to understand the signals. I just bought a new car with you. I'm happy with the car. I think it's awesome. What signal am I sending that I'm ready to buy another car? Like, seriously. So the point of that story is not just to vent, my friends. The point of that story is to say, look at the signals that your buyers are sending or your potential buyers. And then make sure you send them the right content in that regard. So data-driven decisions, way, way easier. I have never made as many data-driven decisions in my life until the last few years, to be honest. If I look back at maybe the last year, I probably made more data-driven, I mean, I don't even know. I could probably say in the last week, I probably made more data-driven decisions than I made in the first 11 years of my career, maybe something like that. So crazy, right? So definitely that works, but you do have to kind of figure out what it means. Do you care? Does it really affect anything? Is that even the right thing to look at, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the next one, operational cost reduction. This is an interesting one because I do think technology can reduce your cost. So I can create way more content today with technology than I ever would have been able to do back in the day. But that doesn't mean me, the content creator, the content strategist, is not needed. I'm still needed. And I don't just say that for self-preservation, but somebody still has to make decisions. Somebody still has to decide what's the strategy, who do you try to reach, what are the keywords. You can use technology for all those things. And then what are the unique stories that you're going to share? So for example, right now, right, I'm sharing stories with you. So here's kind of, let me just kind of walk you through the process here. So I was actually looking at something else. And then this topic popped up and it appeared that there was interest in this topic from people just based on the data alone. So I went to Perplexity AI and looked to see if I'd already written about this. Have I talked about it? I hadn't. I mean, it's embedded in a couple articles, but you know, that's kind of what, that's kind of how that, you know, there wasn't anything. So, and lost my train of thought here for a second. So I use technology for all those things. And then I now share my unique experiences, my unique stories, my unique takes, this is what I've experienced, et cetera, et cetera. And you still have somebody still has to do that. So one thing, and I know people have done this, they fire all their writers and then they use AI. It's crazy. Only, AI only. I use AI all the time for all kinds of different things, but I don't use it to create content from scratch on its own. Because where does the content come from? It comes from, who knows, the web, right? It's just regurgitated crap that's already out there. So you still need people to figure out how to get those unique stories out of people. Or if you don't have the writers, you need experts who know how to write that content or formulate it. And from my experience, most subject matter experts, they don't have that experience. They don't know anything about SEO. They don't know anything about social engagement. They don't know any of those things. So they do actually need that help from a writer for the most part. Now, could they go to Claude AI and start writing something and then say, please optimize this towards whatever keyword? I mean, certainly they could, but let's be honest, all that stuff still takes time. You still have to kind of, you know, reword things, update things, all those different things. So it's not like the human isn't needed, but overall, you know, the use of AI specifically can tremendously reduce how long things take. You still have to be in the right mindset. You still have to figure things out on what you're trying to do, why you're trying to do it. And you also have to kind of figure out the workflow on what piece of technology to use when. The one thing that I've noticed is when technology pieces are used in the wrong order, if they're used correctly, they can actually help with the process. They can help you cut costs. But if they're used in the wrong order, they can actually increase costs. Because let's be honest, if the time of production is twice as long because technology issues, that's not a cost reduction, right? Because time is money, so to speak. Because if you're using it for one thing, you're not using it for another thing. So something to think about. But overall, I think you can save some cost, typically people cost. You might need a higher paid employee or a few higher paid employees versus a number of less paid employees or people with smaller salaries. That actually is a whole nother discussion we could talk about on a whole nother show, is where are the entry-level jobs, right? Like back in the day, you know, I came in as an intern. I wrote an article as an intern and I was helped. I was edited. I was, you know, they showed me what they liked and what they didn't like. Where's that job now? If AI can do that, do you know what I mean? So you have to start somewhere and you have to, I don't want to say move up the chain, but people have to learn how to do it. So not everybody can come in at that like top director of content creation or whatever. So how do you get there? I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. But overall, I think technology can help us cut costs. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is do total up how much you pay for all your technology tools, because they can add up quickly. I think last year, I think I was down just a little bit, but just for Christoph's Content Corner, I spent about, I think it was like $2,500, maybe $2,800 a year just on technology. So that's like Restream, Otter, WordPress, you know, all those different tools. So it does add up. And if you have like an actual bigger company, I mean, Christoph's Content Corner is just like a little bitty blog. I mean, I know I'm understating it a little bit here, but it's not like a full-time company, if you know what I mean. So just keep that in mind, right? There has actually been a case where there was a technology tool. I think I want to say it was for a webinar. It might have been a webinar platform, something like that. And that platform was so expensive that not using it, I literally could hire another person or something like that, or half of the other person. It was pretty expensive. And for that role, I could have a person. So something to keep in mind, something to look at. I don't blame software companies for, you know, trying to make a buck. If they have a tool that's helpful, why wouldn't they charge and keep increasing prices? No other prices are going down or staying the same. So don't blame them per se. But, you know, you do want to look at that as you're looking at your budget, whether it's people cost or technology cost. Those things certainly can make a difference. Finally, let's talk about innovative marketing strategies. And I think using technology can actually help you be more innovative, because you can try more things, right? You can think about things. You can actually also find things. You know, I had a campaign I ran probably 14 years ago by now, and I totally dusted that off and found it from back then. And now I'm using, I use that to build a new idea. And a new idea, right? So like, I'm not doing the exact same thing, but I used it as a foundation to do something and apply it to today's landscape. Haha. Oh, that's a phrase AI uses quite often. So sorry about that, but you heard me say it. I'm a human, certainly. So, but you can try different things. You can do them quicker. You can, you know, figure out what might work or what might not work. So something to keep in mind. Technology can help businesses when used correctly. And as a final note, I think you want to think about your mindset working with technology as well. So back in the day when technology first, when some of these tools just came about, you know, it's like always, oh, it's not working. Or like on these live stream platforms, the second something goes wrong, and it will, because it's, as Jason Falls has said, it's all these dominoes, right? It goes from here, somewhere else. It connects the two streams if you have a guest. And then it has to still come out on the other end, right? It's all these dominoes. Stuff happens. So don't feel bad about that. Don't feel, don't get rattled. Just go with the flow and see why it's not working, what the problem is. Don't take it personal. If you have a crappy internet connection, figure out how to improve it and go from there. And that's really all you can do, to be honest. So that's how I think technology can help a business. Even when you're a small one, there's certain ways you can implement it. And then, of course, you have to weigh the cost and the return. And it's kind of interesting when you think about cost and return. I think Scott Brinker said this on Marketing Demystified with Jen Mancusi. And he said, what's the ROI of a CRM, you know, where you keep track of clients and deals and whatever. Like, you can't measure that. What's the ROI of Restream, this live streaming platform? What's the ROI of the lights? It makes me look a little bit better. I mean, I don't have much to work with, but you know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, some of these things, I'm pretty sure Seth Godin said this, they just become the expectation. It's an expectation that if you come on my podcast, that you sound good. If you don't, it's not going to be a good episode, right? Like, get a mic. You're a CEO. These mics are like under $100, right? I mean, Getty mics. You can get this one in my Amazon store. Just search for Christoph Trapp on Amazon or head over to christophtrapp.com. And on the top of the website, you will find a button to take you right over there. So just something to keep in mind. We don't have to overcomplicate things, but we want to make sure that, you know, we use technology in a way to help our companies. I'm Christoph Trapp, episode 659 in the books.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review The Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.